And we're back with you on The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal. As schools reshape their learning environments to keep people safe during the pandemic, many districts have also been forced to rethink their disciplinary policies. Those changes range from figuring out how to respond when students take off their masks in the classroom to deciding what to do when a child is being disruptive over Zoom. In the past, school disciplinary policies have been administered unequally, with Black students punished disproportionately, according to a 2018 report for the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Native American students and students with disabilities are also punished at higher rates than their peers. Now, some education experts are concerned that the new protocols being rolled out during the pandemic could deepen the disparities in school discipline. For more, I am joined now by Kaylin Belsha, a national reporter for Chalkbeat. Thanks for being here, Kaylin.
Thanks so much for having me.
Prior to the pandemic, what were some of the types of policies leading to disparities in how discipline was carried out in schools?
Well, before the pandemic, we saw disparities happening at kind of all levels of discipline. So it wasn't necessarily one kind of policy, but for sure, the kinds of policies where there was some kind of discretion involved in figuring out whether or not the child should be punished, we saw a lot of disparities there. So that could be figuring out, was a child defiant or acting out in class? Were they not following the rules, being disobedient? We saw from researchers and studies that we know that those have contributed greatly to racial disparities and to Black students being disproportionately punished for the same kinds of behavior as their peers who wouldn't be punished for those kinds of things. But then we also saw big disparities in out-of-school and suspensions as well as expulsions, which are more serious behaviors used typically.
Right. And now we have millions of kids returning to schools in some form or another, an incredible amount of anxiety on the part of parents, and I'm sure kids as well. But disciplinary policies are not something that have gotten as much attention. What are some of the new disciplinary policies that schools are enforcing for, at least for in-person learning?
For in-person learning, probably one of the biggest changes that parents will notice is around their child's behavior when it comes to social distancing and also wearing a mask. So we've seen several school districts make failure to wear a face mask something like a dress code violation, which is usually addressed by having the child maybe go to the office, having a talk with them, maybe taking them aside. But if the child repeatedly does not wear a face mask, those dress code violations can stack up into something more serious that could end up in the child being removed from school and being made to learn online.
We're seeing it's not just being removed. There's actual possible consequences in terms of the criminal justice system.
Yes, there's at least one state we've seen that could make it something like a misdemeanor, and it could be a criminal offense. Yes.
Based on what we already know about disparities in how school discipline is carried out, what are some of the red flags in the new policies that schools are introducing?
Something we've seen in several codes of conduct is that it has called attention to the fact that they will try to figure out the child's intent in what happened. So that we've seen around mask wearing, as well as spitting, coughing, or sneezing on a classmate, that it will come down to whether or not the child intended to do so. And we know in the past when subjectivity has been laid into discipline codes that it hasn't turned out well, especially for Black students. So I think a lot of advocates right now are concerned that we're going to be trying to figure out, did the child intend to do these things, and who will be the one perceiving whether or not the child intended to do it. So there's just a lot of concern there about how that will play out.
All right. We asked you about your children's experiences with discipline in schools, and we heard back from several parents of students with disabilities. Here's what one mother in Oregon told us.
He has ADHD and autism spectrum. And the discipline that he experienced at school was to be shut in a small room in the office and was kept there for the almost entire 6 hours of school. It happened day after day at the school. And because of their inability to deal with him and to accommodate his special needs, we are homeschooling him entirely for the 2021 year school year.
This is Michael from Fargo, North Dakota. My son is a child with some slight sensory-seeking behavior in autism, and we've had a couple disciplinary experiences at school. He was placed in the principal's office with nothing to do for about 20, 30 minutes, and When you have a child with sensory seeking needs, you know that is a recipe for disaster, and we got a call to come pick him up because he found a marker and was trying to kind of draw on the wall. Follow that up with another time we went in to see what was going on, and as we entered the office, because he tried to make a tape backwards around his fingers for some sensory needs, he was being disciplined, and we found him in the fetal position on a chair with a teacher standing over him, growling at him, poking him in the belly, because our office staff are being asked to help provide monitoring for special needs students when they have a disciplinary action. And without any of the training that goes along with it, they're making some very poor decisions.
Kaylin, were some of the concerns mentioned by our callers similar to what you've heard from other parents?
Yes, actually very similar. The parent who mentioned the child with ADHD, I have talked with parents whose children's learning disabilities affect their ability to pay attention for long periods of time. And so they're very concerned about both the in-person or the at-home learning if they're on a screen for a really long time. We know a lot of school districts are really upping the amount of live virtual instruction that will be required this year. So parents are concerned about, well, what if my child can't pay attention for long periods of time? Could they be disciplined for that? And then also in person, there's going to be just a lot of restriction of movement and maybe not the same ability to leave the classroom or move around. So whether or not the schools will provide the kinds of breaks that children will need, and children who have sensory needs, I've also heard parents concerned about, what if my child can't wear the mask for long periods of time? So there's just a ton of concern coming from parents of children with disabilities right now.
Now, you reported how in Utah, students who don't wear masks at school could potentially be charged with a misdemeanor. I'm wondering, how common is it for criminal charges to be brought against students who violate school codes of conduct?
Well, before the pandemic, students were certainly arrested for behaviors that happened at school. And again, that almost always disproportionately was done to Black students. Often they were for the kinds of things that you might expect, more like bringing a weapon to school, getting into fights, assaulting a teacher or a classmate. But right now we're seeing what we would normally consider to be small misbehaviors carrying much higher consequences. Something like wearing a face mask could be considered a health risk. So I think what concern advocates have told us about is that, you know, these smaller things being treated like much, much more serious ones, which for good reason, we understand there's a health concern there. But what does that look like in practice and how does that get carried out?
And there are certainly connections between something that might seem as innocuous as being disciplined in school and something much more serious, which is the school to prison pipeline, right?
Right, correct.
Erica Washington is a former teacher and she's now a colleague of yours at Chalkbeat. She called in and shared this with us. Regarding discipline.
We are already seeing stories of kids being punished for small incidents, like the story that just came out about a seventh grade Black boy with ADHD getting suspended for 5 days for having a toy gun in virtual school in Colorado. Now the boy has a record with the sheriff's office in his county and a mark on his disciplinary paperwork. Teachers and administrators, you can avoid this. This Black boy will remember this for the rest of his life, and his record will follow him. Please, please think about your actions during virtual learning, because the consequences will last forever.
Kaylin, suspended for 5 days for having a toy gun in virtual school. This, I don't even know what the word to use. This sounds quite surreal or Orwellian. I mean, this gets us into this whole other kind of area of virtual discipline in virtual schools, which seems to be an entirely different situation from the problem of teaching kids in schools.
That's right. We're seeing some school districts adopt kind of addendums to their student code of conducts that are supposed to govern virtual behavior. And when can a student be, for instance, muted in a classroom if they're being too disruptive, which is something advocates are worried about. You can't mute a child when they're learning in person. When could you remove the child from the Zoom classroom and put them in something we've seen are these kind of supervised studies is something that the Memphis School District is using, where the child would be supervised by a virtual teacher. Maybe they'd be with other children, or it could be more like an in-school suspension, but they're in a virtual in-school suspension where they have a separate folder of work that they'd be doing during that time. We've also seen districts like Chicago make tweaks to their existing student code of conduct that would govern when is it okay for a principal to block a student's access to the online classroom. And there's some language in there. It's kind of vague. It says it should be restored as soon as possible when the safety threat is over. But when I asked and said, you know, if a student loses access for the full day, is that a suspension? They said no. And advocates said they're very worried about that because if we're counting it in a different way, it just makes it very difficult to figure out what's happening. The data may not be as transparent. So people are just watching to see how are these things classified? Are they suspensions or are they not?
Kaylin, in 20 seconds, is it possible to keep people safe in schools without enforcing such strict codes of conduct?
I think so. A lot of advocates have told me, you know, places are being proactive. They're still finding ways to implement restorative approaches to discipline, making sure that the intervention is more about helping the child than punishing them. I definitely think that there is a way to do it. It's just going to take a lot of work collectively from everyone.
Kaylin Belsha is a national reporter for Chalkbeat. Thanks so much, Kaylin.
Thanks for having me.